Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dine on Life Talk Radio Show. We are happy to be back from being off air the past week, and the show today will be jam-packed with the ongoing real-life situations of many stereotypes and myths in relationships. In fact, there is so much to include with this topic, we will be spending the next 3 weeks covering stereotypes and myths in relationships, which is broken down into 3 segments.
Yes, this shall be juicy, juicy. Okay, so let's jump right into it, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the blog Atlanta Black Star. And if you're not, this particular blog deems itself as news and empowering narratives to change our world. All right, so with regard to stereotypes and myths in relationships, there's this article that I came across from that blog, and that article is titled, Black Men Don't Want to Marry Women, Putting the Myth to Bed and Telling the Truth About Black Relationships.
This should be interesting.
Right. So, okay, this write-up is based off of the docuseries. So there's a docuseries called Married at First Sight, in which men and women, they get married on the same day that they meet. And they live together for 3 months. So after the 3 months, they then decide if they should remain married or if they should get a divorce.
Wow. Well, I'll give my input on that in just a moment.
I know, right? Okay, so let me quote something from the article, and I begin quote. Many of our African-American men have no interest in marrying an African-American woman. Many of our African-American women want husbands who are of the same race. They are successful. They are ambitious. They are beautiful. We want to have the opportunity to match them, end quote. Before we serve the dish, I should also mention that the author of the article quoted that from one of the so-called experts on that docuseries, Married at First Sight. Jazz, I know your mind is just blowing at this moment. Girl, go ahead and please share your thoughts.
Well, I want to start off first by saying I am an African-American woman. And, yes, I wanted to marry a black man, which is what I did. My husband, who was a black man, married a black woman. My father, who was a black man, married my mother, who was a black woman. My grandfather, who was a biracial man, still married a full black woman, my grandmother. I don't know where that idea came from. And as I read it, what I was wondering is, was he specifically referring to the men that apply to that show? Because honestly, I can't see many black women applying to that show. So if a black man probably does go on there, you got to be realistic. You probably ain't finding one of us. Nope.
Girl, when I read that, I had to read it again because I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. I'm like, you know what? That's a bold statement, first of all. Let's start there. That is a bold statement. I think that, okay, let me just make this clear for a moment before I carry on. Love does not see color. So with my thoughts on love not seeing color, I think it's a darn shame to say that many of our African-American men just have no interest in marrying an African-American woman. I think if we were to dissect that and be real about it, basically forget the African-American woman. And like Jasmine, myself, I am African-American. And, yes, I did take offense to that statement. I'm just going to put it out there. I took offense to that. It's very offensive. It's just saying, like, okay, we're just the bottom of the barrel and we don't attract or we're not considered to be what a man desires, let alone men of our same race. So I think it's quite ridiculous, and the person who created that quote can eat those words. How about that?
Agreed. Okay, so I do want to jump into that theory of getting married at first sight. Let me just say, I think it's ridiculous. Do I believe in love at first sight? Possibly. But do I believe in someone else setting me up and expecting it to be love at first sight? No, because now I will say this is as a disclaimer. I don't know the specifics that they go through. I'm just going to assume that they at least have people there who are somewhat of experts, counselors, relationship advisors, stuff like that, who try to put these people together who they feel are most compatible to be with each other based on, you know, a series of questions, actions, and attitudes. However, I don't care what questions I answer. 9 times out of 10, this is just me, you're not going to set me up with the person that's right for me, because I'm going to find something that's wrong. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to find something that's wrong. Shoot, I'm married, and I found everything wrong with my husband before I should go ahead and marry that man. So it's not like, it's not that I don't believe in it, but I believe in it when it happens naturally, not in that sense, not when someone else is doing the work for me.
Right. I think you put it so eloquently. I agree. I don't believe in being married at first sight. I do not believe in love at first sight. I will add this, though. I believe in lust at first sight because, I mean, if we're being real, we're serving the dish, right, on life right now, relationships. When we look at someone, 9 times out of 10, it's their physical appearance that attracts you to them. If you look at someone and you don't find them to be like your physical preference, if you have any, then most likely you won't even say anything to them. You'll be more inclined to speak to someone, to spark a conversation with someone who you do find to be physical attractive. So, yes, lust, you can desire someone when you first see them, but jumping the broom, being married, man, get out of here. I think that whole show is just created for ratings, just in my opinion. And when Jasmine mentioned just now, hopefully they have some experts. Yeah, they have an expert in finding out what TV viewers want to see, because I just think it's just quite ridiculous. My Dynamo Life listeners, all of you all, we're jumping right into the stereotypes and myths in relationships. Go ahead and sound off in our comment section at blogtalkradio.com/Dynamo Life.
Yes, now let's elaborate a little bit further on black men and marriage. So here's a lengthy research statistics from the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau from the black demographics from blackdemographics.com. So African Americans aged 35 and older were more likely to be married than white Americans from 1890 until sometime around the 1960s. Not only did they swap places during the 60s, but in 1980, the number of never married African Americans began a staggering climb from about 10% to more than 20%, 25% rather. By 2010, while the percentage for white women remained under 10%, and just over 10% for white men.
Whew, a big wow. I mean, I'm literally shaking my head. Jazz, why do you think the numbers have changed so drastically?
Because people have changed so drastically. I was actually reading something a little earlier about the children of the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And how they are, the generation following the baby boomers was much larger than the generation of the baby boomers. And it also had mentioned something about how the media played a huge role in shaping those people to pretty much be dumb. I'm not saying it's all based on the media, but we have to be realistic. If they're paying millions of dollars to be on television, we can't say that it's not working. People have changed drastically. Their mindset has changed. You know, even just what you see on TV and the idea of what a family looks like in different cultures anymore. And like I said, I think I told you before, I worked at the hospital, and they teach you at different places, especially if you're working around people of different races and ethnicities, how to act around them, specifically in a family setting. And one of the things that kind of upset me was in certain cultures, I believe it was more of the Arabic, if you were to speak, you had to speak to the man in the room, not to the woman. And I've encountered that before, and I'm looking at the lady like, listen, you the one that's sick. I don't need to talk to him. But, no, you direct all questions to the husband. And one of the things that they did teach us as well about African-Americans is that you address everything to the woman in the room. And one of the reasons that they kind of explained that was because the women were more respected and held more power than the man. It kind of upset me, still kind of upsets me now. But, yeah, people have changed, and roles have flip-flopped a lot, specifically in the community.
Before I go into my interpretation of that, you sparked something in my mind just now when you mentioned how in the African-American community, they address the women because they're more respected than the man. That upset me, too, just now. I think that over time, the depiction of our black man is being destroyed. And I think in any culture, and this is just my belief, it's okay to agree to disagree, but just my belief, I think that the man should be the head of the household. So to address the woman because she's more respected than the man, take that as, okay, her man, her husband, is he beneath her? Is that what they're suggesting?
That's a very good question. And honestly,
I agree. When I first heard it, mind you, I was a single mother, so I understood. But at the same time, I kind of got upset. Specifically after I seen the incident where, you know, everything they taught me about dealing with different cultures, it was somewhat true. And I was upset because I'm like, you know, when I was in the hospital and my father was there, I'm looking like, you know, you ask my father the questions. I'm grown with kids, but I'm, you know, ask my mother the questions. And no, they looked directly at me. I'm like, it's crazy. I was in the same hospital. I work in the same hospital. And when you're addressing other ethnicities or different cultures, you look to the man, regardless if the woman is ill. And in this particular case, you look directly at me and you direct everything towards me. And I don't know, I was like, wait, offended, like that's my father. Granted, you know, they didn't know that. My father doesn't look like he's my father. But regardless of you knowing if it was my father or not, that should probably be the first person you go to. And saying that there is also clearly, it's almost as if our black men aren't respected in any community because this wasn't like a black person telling me that clearly. Well, not clearly, but it wasn't a black person who trained me. This is in their books. These are in books. This is what they train people to know and to understand and to look for in different cultures. And it's almost as if the black man isn't respected anymore. And it's not just by other races and cultures, sometimes it's by us too.
You know what? That's really sad, and I think that's a domino effect to the downfall of the black man. The truth of the matter is, whether women are, especially, you know, whatever woman who is in a relationship with a black man, that's really, really bad because if a man can't even gain respect, if he can't even get respect, how do you think he feels that his worth is? What is his worth if he can't even just get respect, let alone all of the other things that comes with being a black man? And that's a whole other show in itself. We have to do better. And I think at this point, even with you sharing with us how they even have the audacity to put that in books, I think it's so much important. It's a necessity for us to start at home. Like, it's bad enough that a black man has to go out into the world and face the disrespect and the criticism and being stereotyped. It's enough he got to deal with that outside of his front door. So we got to make sure we keep our home tight.
Yes, absolutely true. And I seen a quote today that I had to absolutely share on my Facebook. It said, if I can't marry the most absolutely exceptional man, I will birth him and I will raise him. And that's what we have to do with our black men. I'm not saying don't look for a great black man or don't, this is for black women, and, you know, whatever woman out there who want a black man. But if you, just because, you know, that one man wasn't the best thing for you, don't ever stop trying to create that best, the best version of a man you can. And in doing so, that doesn't mean leave the man out of the picture, but that's a whole other show. We're not going into that today. So it's time to pay some bills.
All righty, Dino Life listeners. If your Land or Range Rover or Jaguar vehicles are giving you problems, don't rid of your luxury vehicle. Instead, contact Elite Auto Parts to get you back rolling again.
Elite Auto Parts is an auto dismantler for foreign cars specializing in used Jaguar and used Land Rovers and Range Rover parts. They offer financing, and they also ship across America. Go to EliteAutoParts.com and place your order today.
And if you're in the Southern California region, you can call them directly at 818-767-0445, and you tell them Dino and Life sent you.
All right, all right. It's time for a positive tea segment. That one, the one thing that all humans desire is love, and sometimes that love brings two people to get married. Marriage takes work on both parties involved, and here are 10 questions to ask before getting married, presented by Eleanor Stanford of the New York Times. The first question is, did your family throw plates, calmly discuss issues, or silently shut down when disagreements arose? The question will help to identify conflict resolution patterns or your family dynamic. The second question is, will we have children? And if we do, will you change diapers?
Great question.
Absolutely. Okay. But it is important to know if your spouse wants children, because some people do and some people don't. And that can actually be a deal breaker in some relationships. All right. So on to our third, will our experiences with our exes help or hinder us? That is a great question as well.
Certainly. Ladies, let me see. Erica Badu said it best. Don't be a bag lady. I mean, everyone has bags, true enough. But some of those bags, you just got to let it go. Let it go. Issues of the past should definitely be discussed, but without a judgmental tone and as an effort to move past it.
Right. Okay, so the fourth question is, how important is religion? Now, you know, I'm a Christian. For me, it doesn't make sense for me to necessarily marry, I don't know, a satanic or satanic worshiper. But,
don't do it.
Yeah, right, it's not, we're not compatible. I'm sorry, God said no. But, you know, it is important, and you need to know how important religion is, because, say, I am very into my, not even necessarily Christianity, I'm a worshiper. I truly worship and praise God on a regular basis. That's who I turn to for comfort and whatnot. And your way of, you know, dealing with it is just talking to your friends. I need to know where religion stands in your life, how important it is to you. So it's definitely important. All right. So the fifth question is my debt your debt? And would you be willing to bail me out?
See? All right. That can be a hindrance to people who just don't care. And I think the reality of it is all your debt does become the other person's debt. Two becomes one. So it's definitely important to have a plan back together, especially if the goal is to have financial freedom.
Absolutely true. You can't come in there with $100,000 worth of school debt, and I paid all of mine off. And I decide, you know, I don't want to deal with it. We can't get married. We can't. It's important that we at least discuss that. Are you
right.
working on this, or are we working on this? I don't know if I'm willing to bail you out of that. You knew that. Okay, so moving right along to the sixth question, which is, what is the most you would be willing to spend on a car, a couch, or even a pair of shoes? This specific question forces you to face your tangible desires. You are forced to realize if you are the type of person to live above your means or within your means, as well as your spouse. So the next question is, can you deal with my doing things without you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes, it is. So when you get married, that person is your everything, and you have plans on spending the rest of your life together. But sometimes a person needs a little me time. Personally love my little 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. That's my me time. My husband is gone by 6, and my kids aren't up at 6. So between 6 to 7 is my me time. But I know that he needs it too. So I definitely don't mind when he wants to be by himself. It's like, you know, don't leave me with the kids.
I, too, agree with having a little me time. Like, especially ladies, that's the time where, yes, let's go get our nails done. Let's go get a pedicure. Let's go have a couple of drinks. If you don't drink, okay, get a bottle of that sparkling water. Let's toast. Heck, read a book, take a nap. Like, sometimes you just need a break, and that's not to suggest you need a break from your marriage or, you know, your family, but you just need to, you know what, I put it like this. That's a good way for you not to lose yourself, because it's so easy for a person to lose themselves once they become a mother or once they get married and have start a family.
Agreed. That's a really good point there. So the eighth question is something that occurs in a lot of relationships, which is, do we like each other's parents? I have seen couples, I've actually witnessed a couple, and it was a man and a woman, but it was the man that I had the conversation with, and he explained that his mother absolutely could not stand his wife, and his wife absolutely could not stand his mother. However, he was willing to sacrifice his relationship with his mother for his relationship with his wife. Now, as a married woman, I understand, because when you make that separation into, you know, going into a marriage, it's then you and your wife. However, in my situation, it is very important that you like my father and you know my father, as well as my husband. Now, in his case, his mother had passed away prior to us getting married, but one of his stipulations is very clearly his sister, who he is very close to. And it's, well, if they don't like you, and this is before we ever got married, well, she don't like you. I can't really be. Sorry, but she don't like you. I can't be with you. But it's a really good question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the best way to put it, just in my opinion, is that at the end of the day, you're going to bed with the person that you're marrying. So it's important to not allow other people to affect your household, to affect your marriage. I don't believe in other people having to say so in your marriage. I think that's a very bad idea, because you did not take vows with those other people. You took vows with your significant other. However, I also think it's quite important to get along with the immediate family, because once you're together, committed relationship, you're married, you're all family. What about, like, if you all get together on holidays, you know, birthdays, heck, just a weekend cookout, something, like, you're all family. And I think it's important for the outsiders who's outside of the relationship, I think that if they realize, okay, my son or my daughter, my brother, whomever, if he loves her or if she loves him, then let me be open to getting to know her. Because
right.
you might actually love her or see why your family member fell in love with that person.
Exactly. It comes with you. I think you need to have an open mind on both parts.
Yes.
All right. So the next question is another hot topic. How important is sex to you? Many relationship experts have gone on the record to say that there should always be a discussion of what each person enjoys about sex. as well as how often they expect to have it. So, you know, men, if you expect sex five times a day, five times a week, you know, you probably should really reconsider marrying that woman who wants to have sex once a month.
Absolutely.
I don't think you should leave extramarital relationships an option, you know. Don't leave it open for yourself, or maybe just really ask the question and figure out what you need to do to change it. If there's truly somebody you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with, I think sex is something that can be fixed. You know, maybe she has a low libido. Something needs to be fixed somehow, somewhere, but definitely a great question.
Absolutely. I agree with that, too. It's definitely important in a relationship, and just be adults and talk about it. If there's something that you feel like, you know, needs some work, talk to your significant other about it and, you know, make it happen, because everyone needs sex. It's just inevitable.
Right. So the last question is something that people do for whatever reasons they use to justify it, which is, how far should we take flirting with other people? I don't know why it's a question. However, some people do need this question. I kind of would hope, I would hope better, my husband better know that if you think you're bright enough to do that, you are very far away with someone I would never see a day in this lifetime. That's kind of where I'm leaving that at. But at the same time, you know what, ladies, I guess you also need to figure out, is it okay for him to like go to a strip club and get a lap dance? Because that is, come on now, he ain't just getting no lap dance because he's bored. So really great question.
I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to let my friend Jasmine keep it classy, and I'm going to keep it ratchet for y'all ratchet ones. I don't believe in, you know, attacking the other woman, because a woman will only do what your man allows her to do. But that flirting, that's just, that's the gateway to opportunities that should not even be considered. I don't play that. And I love how you said it. He thinks he has the bright idea to do so. I wish my man would. He would. I mean, I don't promote violence at all. At all. I'm very peaceful. But I'm just saying, try me. I mean, it's wise not to, but try me.
Trip. And I promise you, we won't nobody ask questions. Okay. So there you have it, Down on Life listeners, the 10 questions to ask before getting married. Sound off about these questions on our radio site, blogtalkradio.com/Down on Life.
Yes, I want to add a question in there real quick before we end our show, a question to develop some thoughts in your mind. What does marriage mean to you? I think people become so obsessed with the idea of marriage without really knowing what it really means to them.
True. I definitely agree with that. For some people, it is just something as simple as a piece of paper. And so, you know, a lot of people just don't get married because it's a piece of paper, which is true. For some people, it may be, like in the case of my husband and myself, it was kind of like a rite of passage to do more so with our religious life.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to shack up. We are going to be married, and we are going to become one. But if you're the type of person who thinks it's just going to, some women, and I know women who believe this, believe that if you get married, that's going to stop that man from cheating. I just want to throw this out there, that it won't. And when your man gets that ring, he's actually more attractive to those other women.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a question that everyone just needs to ask themselves before making a commitment like that, is understanding. So sound off. Again, at blogtalkradio.com/Down on Life about what marriage means to you.
Yes, so we would love to hear from you. We're very interested to see you and read your opinions. So, Down on Life listeners, today we spoke on how some of the media presents men of color with regard to marriage, and we spilled the tea on topics of discussion before jumping the broom.
Go to our site, blogtalkradio.com/Down on Life, instead of the dish on your opinions of what we talked about today. Also, follow us on Facebook for daily motivational positive updates at facebook.com/dineonlife.
Don't forget to read updates and our opinions on our website, dineonlife.org, where we serve the dish on real-life experiences and share our opinions on news updates.
Thank you for tuning in.
We'll dine with you next week, guys. Have a great week.